Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Applegarth. Glad you could finally make it, man.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't
we know. Got nothing.
I don't care. We're good. I don't. I hate everything. Like I said.
All right.
Ready to talk some AFC North? Let's do this.
Yeah, so let's do that tonight. So as AJ said, we're talking AFC North tonight, so Ravens, Pittsburgh, Bengals, and Browns. But before we get into that, just while you're here, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, leave those comments, and leave those five-star reviews if you're on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're listening. We appreciate it. And of course, jump over to fantasysixpack.net. Become an all-access member. You're going to get access to our award-winning rankings, our draft cheat sheets, the projections, lots of other things. So we do, you know, we do football, baseball, basketball, hockey. We do all that stuff, DFS golf as well. We got Dave Eddie rocking the DFS baseball right now. As soon as football chimes in, we got him and Chris Robin and Keith Fleming doing DFS football for us, so that they hit some home runs pretty much every single week. And you get to talk to us and them over on our Discord, ask your personal league questions and your weekly advice questions for your DFS lineup as well. So that is where the money's at, in my opinion. That's invaluable. And, you know, believe me, you guys will win your money back and then some. Yeah. So without further ado, let's just jump right into things here and bring in our first guest of the night. Good friend of mine and AJ's, Mr. Jeff Flambert, going for two founder, does, stuff over with Fantasy Pros. And if you guys don't know by now, he hosts quite a bit of stuff for Scott Fishbowl coming up this weekend. And, I am proud to say I'm running a live draft in DC with you, Jeff. So happy to be running it back for year two of that. AJ will be joining us as well. How's it going tonight, man?
That's right. Hey, what's up, guys? Obviously, thanks for having me on. And yeah, we're a couple of days away now. We're going to be hosting that live draft. So it was a lot of fun last year, and hopefully this year it's a lot more fun and in a better condition with some AC, hopefully.
And yeah, I was gonna say better condition with air conditioning. Yes, if there is no air conditioning, I'm walking out and drafting from home. Sorry, there will be no live draft.
It'll be.
I'm guaranteeing there.
The gifts are on the table over there. Help yourselves. Don't bleed over it. It's fine. Peace. We'll make this work. And thank you. Good night.
Exactly. All right. Our second guest here from Fantasy Six Pack, Mr. Corey Piper. What is going on, man? Happy to have you joining us tonight.
Yeah, man. I'm doing my Scott Fishbowl draft from home, where the air conditioning is nice here in Wisconsin. So no nice, live yes. drafts for me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, welcome aboard. No, glad to have you on.
I definitely enjoyed doing it. But yeah, last year was quite the mess. Let's just say we will no longer be doing them at that location ever again. But I want to thank everybody for jumping in already here. I see Albert and Chad. What's going on, guys? So if you guys are ready, I think we should just hop into our first team here. And I'm not ready because I'm an idiot and forgot to share my presentation.
I even gave you so much extra time, and this is what you did.
I had it ready, and then I forgot to actually share it with StreamYard, and I just, yeah, it is what it is. But we're here. There we go. AFC North draft guide. Those pretty thumbnails for all of our team previews over there on Fantasy Six Pack. You can check those out. I believe all four of these teams are done as of this live show right now. But the first team we're going to be knocking out here is the Baltimore Ravens. And we're starting with Derrick Henry. Look, we all know Lamar's the guy here, but we know what Lamar is, right? Everybody's kind of, safety with Lamar. You know what you're going to get. Great quarterback. There's not a lot to really ask about him. He'll get involved with a lot of these questions, I believe. But let's start here with Derrick Henry, the newcomer on this team. Big acquisition this offseason. Look, he's been tailing off these last couple of seasons. Some of it is the Titans offense as a whole, right? But look, now he's come into a team that has been top three in rushing yards since 2018. A lot of that has been Lamar, because they have not had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2019. Pretty crazy when you think about that. A running back hit 1,000 yards. Sorry, I believe Lamar has done it since then. But he's going as RB10, 25th overall. Do you consider that too low, about right? Jeff, we'll start with you.
I think it's about right. I think he definitely belongs in the top 12 at least. I don't know if I put him any higher than that, because he doesn't have that receiving ability. I think his career high is, 33 receptions, which you got there on the screen. That's as mm-hmm. most as he's ever done. He has, three top five finishes in his career, but all three of those top five finishes, he had 300-plus carries. I don't think he gets that. One, because he's older. Two, because, like you mentioned, Lamar Jackson's there. He would take some of those rushing attempts away from Derrick Henry. And I don't think the Ravens' goal is to run him into the ground. I do think that they're going to want to limit his workload. He's an older running back. We always talk about the cliff. There's no cliff for Derrick Henry, because he's, as big as he is, he's essentially a linebacker up there. So it's not the same cliff that other running backs have. But I don't see him getting 300-plus carries this year. Obviously, he won't be involved in the passing game. And even the Ravens, in general, don't pass the ball to running back quite often, because Lamar Jackson is back there. And instead of checking out to the running back, he's just taking off and running it, which is, a little bit more efficient. So, yeah, I don't see Derrick Henry in the top five, but he definitely belongs in the top 10. So if he's right around, 10, 11, 9, somewhere in that range, I think that's kind of where he fits right now.
Yep. Corey, what about you, man?
Yeah, so Derrick Henry's a volume rusher, and he's going to the team that led the league in carries. Since he came into the league, he has 2,030 carries. That's second in that branch to only Zeke's 2,065. And then it's this massive drop-off to 1,571 from Joe Mixon. Now, he's led the league in carries for the last five seasons. The year he didn't, he was at 219 in only 8 games. I think you just give him all of Gus Edwards' vacated carries. That's 198. Justice Hill had 84 last year. I can easily shave 40 off that. I'm at 240. Melvin Gordon and Tyler Huntley at 40. You're at about 280. That's where I can get to about him. I don't think he gets to 300, like Jeff said, but 280, I think that's possible. Even if he rushes for last year, it was a career low, right around 4.2, I think, yards per carry. You can still get close to 1,200 yards, probably double-digit touchdowns. I have him at 7. That's where I see it. It's a little above 10, but I can't get him in the top 5.
Yeah, you hit it on the head there, Corey, with the you know, yard average, 4.2. He was tied for his lowest with 2017 in Tennessee, which was his second year. So kind of expected as the second year sophomore slump, at least from my perspective. I'm a big proponent of believing in the sophomore slump. Last time he saw that low was 4.3, and that was in 21 when he only had those 8 games. So I think that being, you know, visible to Baltimore's games and seeing more of their games than most of the teams in the NFL because of me and Joe being in Maryland, I think Henry has a very good chance to surpass the 280. I don't know if I'm buying it yet. I love the breakdown you have there with the vacated targets though. So I think that he's going to be possibly between the 280 and maybe like 305, 310. So where that lands to be determined, I guess, but obviously a power runner. This is the best fit for him coming out of this off season. I think this is a great location, and he's not necessarily going to have to be the main guy because Lamar attracts so much from defenses. So he's still going to be the main guy in terms of the running back room, but Lamar's still going to get his. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this offense operates with Henry in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys bring up a lot of good points. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little on the fence with Henry. I there are days where I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, we saw kind of like, you know, Gus Edwards just like chew up touchdowns, you know, during the middle of last season, right? And, you know, pissed Lamar Jackson managers off to, you know, I was one of them. Like, come on, give one of those. Like, it pissed me off. Like, Lamar was getting like 0 and Gus was getting 3. And it was, you know, you're just like, oh, all of those are going to go to Henry. But it's like, but will they? Like, I don't know. Like, there's a part of me where it's like, I mean, he's slowed down. He's got a lot of tread on the tires. But he's also just like, I mean, he's a different human being than most running backs, right? Like, feels like he's kind of bucked the trend where, like, he's been able to carry, you know, have this workload year in and year out and really not wear down to a point where he's just worthless. But, you know, I think I'm somewhere in the middle, right? And I know that sounds kind of a cop-out. So where I'm not ready to push him into the top 10, but I'm not ready to push him out of, like, the top 15. He's kind of fits somewhere right in the middle of there for me, to where I think there's going to be games where he's going to be awesome, but I think there's also going to be games where Lamar just takes over, right? To where in Tennessee, that offense was him. Let's be real. Like, it really was him. And it's not going to be the case in Baltimore. So there's going to be other times. There's going to be games where it's like, oh, where'd Derrick Henry go today? Oh, well, they didn't need him. But in Tennessee, they did. That they leaned on him. In Baltimore, they're not going to have to do that. So that's why
I agree.
I hesitate to put him in that top 10 conversation yet.
I don't think they're going to have to lean on him, and they know that, but I think there will be games, like you said, where they do lean on him. And because he's been such an anomaly as far as a picture of health, a picture of, you know, volume throughout his entire career, really, it's just feed him the ball. He's going to go. He's going to get his yards. He's going to get touchdowns. Yeah. Double digit, and it's
great. One thing I'm worried about with Henry and this offense is, you know, we're expecting, you know, at least some read options, right? You know, where they don't hand off the Derrick Henry and Lamar rolls out. But I don't know if Derrick Henry is a read option type running back, right? He's like downhill, hand me the ball, you know, 20 times a game. Let me just batter these guys inside. But you get him going, you know, outside, you know, with his shoulders turned to the line of scrimmage, you know, I don't know if he's going to be that guy. So I don't know, does that actually work out for him, or does it, you know, is it going to end up kind of biting him in the butt because they're going to run those read options? You know they are with Lamar Jackson back there, but is it Derrick Henry overall?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That's for sure. I think it's, like I said, it's a great landing spot, but we'll see just how great once this preseason gets rolling.
I think it might be a better landing spot for like NFL purposes. Like this is really going to help the Ravens. They haven't had like a stud running back that they've been able to just rely on. A lot of their guys have been getting injured. I mean, like Gus Edwards,
J.K. Dobbins.
You know, you love him, but like he's not, you know, a stud running back by any means. Like he's serviceable, right? And so you get a guy like Derrick Henry that can change some of those games, those close games where it's like maybe the passing game isn't working quite as well as
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great, but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Wanted to Derrick Henry, you know, they're shutting down Lamar, they've got a couple spies on him. Oh, throw Derrick Henry in the mix, he changed the ball game, right? And so that's where I think he comes into play. But let's move on here, AJ.
Well, I was just gonna say, good points here, but you know, one of these guys in this offense that could potentially be taking some of these targets away from Henry in the short game is Mark Andrews. And you know, are we sleeping on Mark Andrews being potentially healthy again this year? You know, currently he's going as a tight end for 47th overall. So it puts him right around the 411 pick. Corey, what are your thoughts on Andrews this year and, you know, whether or not he can stay healthy?
I hope he can stay healthy, but I don't think we're sleeping on him. I think that's pretty fair value for me. I actually have him fifth. So the three that are going ahead of him, you have Laporta, Kelsey, McBride, and then I actually bump Kincaid over him. It's not that Andrews is substantially worse. I don't think he's going to be dealing with a nagging injury, but we just talked about this team's bringing in Derrick Henry. We already know they want to run the ball, and Andrews was averaging 6.1 targets per game last year. That's not going to rise. I don't see anything of that happening with Derrick Henry there. Meanwhile, Sam Laporta averaged 7. Travis Kelsey averaged 8. Trey McBride averaged 6.2, but you have to remember he had 15 targets the first 6 weeks. After that, he's averaging over 8 targets a game. And then, yes, Kincaid only averaged 5.7, but Buffalo vacates 240 targets between Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Dalton Kincaid led that team in targets. So, well, I think Mark Andrews is still a good tight end. I just don't think he will get the volume to be back up into the top two like we've seen him before.
All right, Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with him as well on that. You know, it's those guys that he has ahead. I think I also have Kincaid over Mark Andrews. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about tight ends and, you know, we call them touchdown dependent. And, you know, guys like these aren't necessarily touchdown dependent because they'll get targets, they'll get yards as well. But in Andrews' case, how many more touchdowns is he going to lose out to Derrick Henry? You know, when they get down close, he's not going to get those targets. He might get, you know, it's going to be Derrick Henry getting those touchdowns. You know, and then you factor in they got, you know, Zay Flowers, who had a really good rookie season. We expect him to take a step forward, too. He'll take away some of those targets that Andrew was getting in the past where he was just target relentlessly because they had nobody else to get the ball. You got Henry taking away touchdowns. You got Flowers taking away potential targets. I think Andrew's fourth range is perfectly where he needs to be. I don't think he's being slept on. Obviously, the upside is still there. He's been tight end one in the past, not that long ago. I think it was 2 years ago. He was the tight end one, so that upside is there. Mm-hmm. So if you take him at you know, tight end four, and you get tight end four value, great. But you have the potential to get even more value. Andrews with the potential of being a tight end one. So, but I think he's being valued pretty correctly there at the fourth or fifth tight end.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything everybody's saying. I think Andrews is great. He hits a little to kind of jump into the next grouping of players and to make that, he does need his touchdowns, like you guys are saying. And you know, we see it here on the screen. Through the weeks that he was healthy, I've removed week 11, which is the one he actually got hurt in, like the first drive. So I kind of wiped that one out. But you know, he had the most touchdowns between weeks 2 and 10. Those are the weeks he played. He was third in points per game, fourth in yards, fourth in targets and receptions. So he's right in that territory. And you guys are hit it spot on. Like Kincaid's up and coming, McBride's up and coming. Who knows? Maybe this is actually Kyle Pitts' year, right? I mean, like, you know, new offensive coordinator over there, new quarterback, somebody who can actually get him the ball. Like maybe he finally jumps up there. There can be a lot more competition up there that I think can bring Andrews back down. But Andrews is, I mean, as good as it gets, honestly. And to take him at the end of the fourth round, that's actually a player who I might actually be targeting a lot if he sits there at that turn. That's a pretty nice player to have.
Yeah, I definitely like that positioning for my drafts. And, you know, looking at his targets, you know, they've been obviously increasing over the years, you know, kind of up and down. And then he went from 2020 to 21, from 88 to 153. So that was obviously a huge year for him. Played all 17 games. Only started 9 for whatever reason, but okay, that's fine. Still 153 targets. I mean, that just doesn't make sense, but you know, he's been a picture of consistency in this offense when he's been healthy and on the field. I think that he can do that again this year. And I think Isaiah likely is more of a handcuff than anything because of Andrew's health history. But I think he'll still be, you know, viable option in this offense, you know, on certain games. So, but let's check out the receivers here. What do we got for Zay Flowers?
Yeah. So, oh, and of course my awesome pictures didn't show up. That's brilliant.
This is the best slide of the show. Just saying. I love those little pictures with the little crooked lines between them, and it's really small.
I don't know. That was weird. It's like
you just don't even know what it is.
I just refreshed.
So
but you can't see it anyway. All right. So yeah, Zay Flowers. He's a guy who I have a tough time kind of projecting what he's gonna do. So he had a lot of like short yardage catches and then like a lot of deep yard stuff, like not a lot of in between, it felt like. And then when you really look at like his efficiency, right? So like he really thrived without Mark Andrews on the field, and you know, rightfully so. I think that's to be expected, but like it was a pretty massive difference with Mark Andrews on the field. We're seeing here on the screen 41 receptions, 467 yards, one touchdown, averaged 8.5, almost 8.5. fantasy points per game. That's half PPR. Without Mark Andrews, 36 receptions, 391 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 13.5 fantasy points per game. So I think what with Mark Andrews, it was what 2 through 10. So like 8, 9 weeks. And then without Mark Andrews, you're talking about the rest. So pretty good sample size, you know, for both sides. Jeff, what's kind of your overall thoughts here with Zay Flowers coming into 2024?
So there's two ways to look at this, right? So you're doing with Mark Andrews, without Mark Andrews. You can also look at it as first half of a rookie season versus second half of a rookie season. And I think that explosion that he had, you know, probably has something to do with Mark Andrews being gone as well, but I think it also had to do with him being a rookie, finally catching on to the offense and becoming a part of it. We see that trend a lot with a lot of rookie receivers where they kind of struggle early on and then later in the season kind of catch their stride. And I just pulled up his game log just to see.
So he had nine catches the very first game. Slow pace was there.
Yeah.
That was without Mark Andrews, by the way.
It's not enough.
Yeah. but he ended up with, from week 12 through week 17, at least in the scoring the league, I pulled up, you know, 23 points, 20 points, 22 points, 20 points. And that's what everyone's kind of pointing to, like, oh, he's going to have a huge year two if that trend kind of continues. Obviously, Andrews puts a little bit of a damper in there. And one of the stats that you put in the show sheet that's not up here is his percentage of, you know, snaps or catches behind the line of scrimmage or targets behind the line of scrimmage is 27%. And then 20% of them, you know, 20 plus yards and over. So essentially, it's like Mark Andrews is going to be covering that middle ground. He'll take the short little, the behind the line scrimmage catches, he'll do deep stuff. Mark Andrews works the middle. And if Mark Andrews is, you know, back to what we know Mark Andrews to be, and he pulls those safeties in at all, then I think Flowers will get over the top. And Flowers is one of those guys that you get the ball in his hands any way you can, which is why those targets, you know, behind the line of scrimmage are so high, because make things happen with his legs as well. So I think it works out perfectly for Flowers to have a big season because he's not working the middle of the field where Mark Andrews will be working the middle of the field. He's either behind the line of scrimmage or he's downfield 20 plus yards. So I think it works out perfectly, and I'm expecting Flowers to have a huge, huge season this year.
Yeah, I like the idea of it being just development from Zay Flowers, but I'm a little less optimistic on Zay Flowers. I just don't see the targets being there with Mark Andrews. While Mark Andrews was there weeks 2 to 10, he was just very underwhelming. In half PPR, he broke double digits twice the first 10 weeks. The last five games, yeah, he looked good, but he also scored touchdowns in four of those five games. And I am not trusting the smallest player on a team that just added Derrick Henry to get a bunch of touchdowns. In the other game, he scored 1.7 points. So it's just very fluky. I think he's going at a wide receiver like 29 right now. That's too high for me. I see him just outside like top 35, somewhere around there for me. And so I probably won't get a lot of Zay Flowers. And if he blows up, great. I'm happy for him, but it won't be on my team.
Yeah, I think AJ, it's a good point, but I want to say I read it on Sleeper when I was doing my research on this. He only had one less target than Mark Andrews in those games where Andrews was on the field as well. So again, it's weeks 2 through 10. So, you know, maybe there is a little bit more to the rookie finding his way sort of deal with, you know, the, I don't want to say better competition on the field with him, but the more trusted asset, we'll say, in Andrews. So obviously he blew up more in the second half without Andrews there. We can see that just on the slide here. But I agree in the fact that I don't know if I'm buying Zay as higher than a top 30 receiver because of the add of Derrick Henry. So I agree with you there, Corey. I think that's a great point that we need to look at. And you need to see where these targets are going to be going, how this offense is going to be run, and see what's what. So all valid points. Joe, anything else to add?
No, I mean, you guys kind of covered both sides. I mean, I kind of like Zay Flowers, especially. I do think targets are going to be there. So in any kind of PPR format, I think he's fairly safe. Because, I mean, like, let's be honest. Even with Mark Andrews there, there's really only two guys to throw the ball to.
True.
I mean, I know they throw the ball a lot. compared to some teams, but when it's such a condensed target share, like Flowers and Narc Andrews are both going to be, you know, pretty good there as far as PPR stuff goes. But yes, the concern that Corey brought up with the touchdowns again, that's kind of the scary thing about this entire offense is just who's going to score the touchdowns. It just feels like, going back to what I said with Derrick Henry, is there's going to be games where one of these superstars lets you down, and there's going to be many games, unfortunately, where that happens because there's so many good players. They're not all going to crush every week, and so that's just what you've got to figure out. So,
and the last thing I'll mention too is, you know, in college, Zay Jones obviously just increased his workload, touchdowns pretty much every year at Boston College through, you know, all 4 years. So I think the potential for him to grow in year two is definitely there. Like you said, Joe, he's one of really two trustworthy targets. So, I mean, are we talking Rashad Bateman season SZN? Is that where we're at now?
Oh, no.
If I'm not mistaken too, I just want to chime in real quick. I believe if I remember correctly, Andrews actually came back for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was in that Flowers had 100 plus yards. And I mean, he probably wasn't himself, obviously. He hadn't played all year. But, you know, that's one
Andrews
thing to point to.
Absolutely nothing.
Still looking to say Flowers.
Yeah. So we actually have a question from Mr. Scambers here. At their respective ADPs, here, we'll finish off with this a little rapid fire. We'll go around the room. ADPs, who would you rather have, Zay or Andrews? So just to I go off half PPR. I just kind of do the happy medium here. So I'm looking at Fantasy Pros, 45 for Zay Flowers. I think they're back to back. 48 for Andrews. I mean, probably.
I go Andrews.
Yeah,
I probably think I'm going Andrews.
I think that's pretty nice. You know, he is still one of the like safe, lock it in tight ends. You don't have to worry about it. Once you pass him, there are still just a bajillion question marks. Like, there's a lot of bust written on some of the guys below him, even though we all like them. Like, we love Kincaid, but would it shock anybody if Kincaid completely did nothing this year? We're just like, oops. I mean, Dawson Knox a couple years ago, we all loved him, did nothing. And it's like, oh, you know, like, it, everybody loves Kyle Pitts again, but like, how would y'all be surprised if he let us down again?
Well, no. Arthur Smith's not there, so who knows?
I don't think Mark Andrews is going to disappoint, especially at an ADP of 48. So it's Andrews for me. So, yep.
All right.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
Let's move on to our next team.
Jump into some Pittsburgh Steelers. All right. So this is a very interesting team this year. We've got multiple QB1s playing to try to be the QB1, and we've got both Russ Wilson and Justin Fields brought in this offseason. Which one of these guys do we think is going to have the better fantasy asset value this season? And are you targeting either of these guys or just avoiding them altogether? Corey, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so in a traditional one quarterback redraft league, I'm just avoiding it altogether. If I have to settle for one of these, something went wrong with my plan, because I do not want neither Justin Fields nor Russell Wilson.
Abort!
Exactly. In a super flex league, I'll prefer Russ. I think he starts the year off as the quarterback. And as poor as he appeared last season, he finished QB 14. So there at least was some fantasy goodness in there, but in Dynasty, in the long term, I still want Fields. I think under Arthur Smith, now we rip on Arthur Smith, and we'll get that down here soon, but Ryan Tannehill in 2019 finished as QB 22 in 12 games, and in 2020, he finished as the QB 7 with his ability to move. So if Ryan Tannehill can do it, Justin Fields still has a lot more upside in this offense, but I just don't think he's going to get the initial chance to start.
Yeah. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, I'm the same way. I'm going to be avoiding both of these guys just because we don't really know how it's going to shake out. You know, Justin Fields obviously has a huge side. Russell Wilson is probably the safe play. I would, if I super flex league, I would prefer Russell Wilson as my QB 3 or 4. Justin Fields would be like the later flyer, like the, you know, have the guy on your bench and hope that he gets a chance, because that rushing upside is enormous, obviously. And, you know, interesting stat, I had to try to find it real quick from Mike Clay with Russell Wilson last year. He listed NFL offenses with more than 27 touchdown passes and fewer than 10 interceptions. There was one team, and it was the Denver Broncos last year, which is crazy when you think about it. Greater than 27 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions, and it was only the Broncos that did that. Wow. You know, Russell Wilson is as bad as he, you know, as we think he played last year, he actually wasn't that bad in that offense. I think it was overblown. You know, they had a stretch there where they won a ton of games in a row because of Russell mm-hmm. Wilson. And really, with the Steelers, it's about winning games, right? They're not here to be flashy. They want to win games. And that's what, you know, Russell Wilson can do, and I think will do, which will also keep Justin Fields off the field.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
I don't really have anything else to add here. You guys hit it right on. We'll just move on here. It's Russ and Superflex. I guess if you're playing like kick and punt returns, maybe take a stab at Justin Fields. Who knows what's going on there? Those little weird rumors. But no, it's Russ. And I actually think he'll do all right over there. Like, not great weapons, but I mean, Superflex, he'll be serviceable.
Now, if we're talking dynasty, Justin Fields, I do like him long term, because I do think Russell Wilson plays the mentor role very well.
I actually saw a video today doing some research for this where Justin Fields was talking about how Russell Wilson's been a good mentor to him. And so, like, it just feels like Russell Wilson knows this is kind of his last hurrah. And, you know, they're already sort of talking it up. Like, this is the role each player is going to play. So this is why it's Russell Wilson for me, easy. So,
all right.
Yep. So, moving over to running back here, we got a couple pretty solid running backs here. You know, so there was a lot of talk last year on Twitter, and like I did the, I forget exactly what it was called. Basically it was like the usage trend article here over on Fantasy Six Pack, and so constantly all over Twitter, all you heard was, oh, Jalen Warren's the obviously, like, the obvious play here for the Steelers. But, like, when you went back and looked at everything, like, Najee Harris actually, like, led this team in snaps and carries and everything else. And, like, yeah, Warren was a little more, like, efficient with it. But, like, the Steelers were not going away from Najee. Do you guys think with Arthur Smith in town, like, how this kind of change, if does this change this year, or are we just kind of going to get more of the same? And I mean, and then, you know, who would you rather have? And Jeff, we'll start with you.
So who would I rather have? I do like Najee Harris this year. You know, I don't think he'll ever get the targets that he had his rookie season, which I don't have that in front of me, but I know it was a ton. And that's why he has such a great rookie season. You see Jalen Warren there on screen had 74 targets last year. He's the obviously the pass catching back in this offense. But the Steelers did something this past offseason that I think helps Najee as far as his averages and everything else. And they went out and got offensive line, which they hadn't had done that in a while. Yes. So they drafted, I think, two guys in the NFL draft pretty high. So, you know, that 4.1 average, you know, if you raise that up to 4.5, 4.6, and, you know, we hope it's going to be a better offense. Russell Wilson, you know, you give him a couple more touchdowns there. All of a sudden, you know, Najee Harris looks a whole lot better than Jalen Warren, who's a great running back, but he's just not, he's getting the targets and he's getting sort of the, like you mentioned, the efficient touches. I think both of them would be viable, but if I'm going to have to choose one of them, give me the guy that's going to get a ton of touches, a ton of carries, and I'll take Najee Harris all day.
Bingo. Corey.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm in agreement on that one. I do think that Najee gets the bigger workload this year. He led the way in touches last season with the 284. Warren had the 61 catches, which is very valuable. The way that this changes and Warren does somehow beat him in touches is Russ Wilson loves to check the ball down. So the Broncos had 138 receptions last year between Samaje Perine, Javonte Williams, and Jaleel McLaughlin because he loves to throw the ball short. So if he's just dumping it left and right to Jalen Warren, that could boost the touches. But last year, Bijan Robinson, obviously Arthur Smith coming from Atlanta, Bijan Robinson had 274 touches. Tyler Allgeier had 204. I think it's a similar split. I think we get maybe like 280 again out of Najee Warren. Or Najee Harris, excuse me, and like 210, 220 out of Jalen Warren. And like Jeff said, they want to run the ball. They might even run it more than that. So I like Najee Harris, but I'm perfectly comfortable at taking Jalen Warren at his ADP too.
Yeah.
I like your idea. Let's just mash them together and make one good player.
Najee Warren, best receiving running back ever.
RB1. Yeah, let's do it.
Not much to add. Najee did have 94 targets his rookie year. So that dropped all the way down to 53 the next year and down to 38 last year. So,
yeah.
All right. So let's move it over to receiver here. And basically, we obviously have a loss here with Diontae Johnson being traded, to Carolina. Not really any established veterans behind George Pickens this year. But do we think he's going to step up and be a true wide receiver one for fantasy purposes? I mean, what are we looking at for the ceiling for Pickens this year? Corey, start with you.
I think he has the talent to be a wide receiver one, but I don't trust the offense that he's in to get him to wide receiver one numbers, because I think they're going to have to change the way that they utilized him. So last year he led the league at 18.1 yards a catch, but he only had 63 catches on 106 targets. Well, Diontae Johnson's gone. Diontae Johnson operated underneath. I think we can get George Pickens closer to 140 targets, but in doing so, that 18.1 yards per catch is probably going to fall to 13, 12, somewhere around there. He's going to have to operate more underneath. Finished this wide receiver 26 and half PPR last season. I think he has a year something similar to what we saw from DeAndre Hopkins last year with Tennessee. 75 catches, 1,050 yards, 7-8 touchdowns. That probably gets him to bumps him up from wide receiver 26 to wide receiver 20. I just don't see there's a way that we get him all the way to the top 12.
Right, yeah, top 12 is probably pushing it a little bit. I don't have him in the top 12. I'm a higher on Pickens than most. And I agree. I do think that 18 whatever yards per catch definitely comes down. But I think because of that, I think volume also goes up. And I think Pickens is a very Russell Wilson type wide receiver. We saw Russell Wilson sort of revive Courtland Sutton's career last year. And I think Pickens is a very similar receiver to Courtland Sutton, obviously a little bit more athletic. And, you know, obviously a little bit more of a downfield threat than what Sutton, you know, had a revival last year with Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf, all those years, you know, he's a different kind of beast. But I do put Pickens sort of in that same sort of category. And I think efficiency also goes up with that volume. You know, with him working the middle of the field more, with Johnson now gone, he still has the deep ball ability. So the team still have to respect that deep ball. And the one thing that Russell Wilson does throw is a very, very nice deep ball. So when he does get that behind the deep safeties, he can definitely get the ball to him. So I like Pickens, not top 12. I probably have him in my top 17, top 18, something like that, just outside of the wide receiver one. And I think he will have some weeks where he hits that wide receiver one type upside. But there will be weeks where he doesn't, because the Steelers are running the ball and playing good defense and he doesn't get volume. There'll be games where he gets plenty of volume for sure.
Yeah, so the only thing I want to add is that the George Pickens is the son of former Cincinnati Bengals receiver Carl Pickens. And Carl Pickens had a whopping 174 targets in his age 26 season, which was back in 96. George is going into his age 23 season, yet he already had 106 targets last year. So, I mean, he's on pace. He's on a better pace than his father, but times were different then. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Dropping the fantasy knowledge, AJ.
Dropping the nepotism fantasy knowledge. Here we go.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little down on Pickens. I just, you know, it's hard to really trust Russ Wilson. If Fields is actually the guy, like, it's almost worse. You know, we just talked about how much we really think this team's going to run the ball and just lean heavily on this run game. I think we're looking at Pickens being pretty much exactly what Pickens was last year. I really just don't think his role changes. I think they're just going to move in guys. It's not like Deontay Johnson was awesome. He can slide in somebody into his role pretty easily. And we got Jamie over here in the comments talking about Roman Wilson. I mean, like, yeah, sure. Like, why not? I mean, it could be a whole slew of guys. You know, it's just, it is what it is with Pickens. I think the talent is there. I just don't think the offensive scheme is going to be there to help him. He'll have some pretty nice games for sure.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be really aggravating to roster most weeks.
I mean, the one thing to look at too with Russ, assuming that Russ is going to be the guy for the majority of the season, maybe in depending on how this team goes. But, you know, Courtland Sutton was Russ's number one last year, and he had a very solid season. You know, only 772 yards, but he had 10 touchdowns. So, you know, again, is this going to be a thing where Pickens becomes a, you know, Sutton-esque touchdown dependent player, and the yardage may not be there all the time, but I don't know. I still think I'm down on him as well. Overall, I just think this team is kind of in a weird rebuild of sorts is the best way that I can put it. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens with that.
It's a very strange rebuild for sure. When you bring in a guy like Russell Wilson and then you you trade for his replacement as well. Like it's such a weird, I've never seen a team do this before, but
yeah,
sure. Go for it, Steelers. But all right. Well, so I think that's going to be it for the Steelers. All right. So that's it for part one of this week's episode of the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you hit that follow button, leave those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. And make sure you tune in for the next part. Thank you.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
Was it easy leaving the group chat when the bubbles turned green and every message was Cam likes this and Claire dislikes that?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was, because I get enough overreacting at home.
Like liking messaging again with WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.